The singing of the doxology by the PCC student body begins Pensacola Christian College Chapel. At each chapel service, students have an opportunity to receive spiritual exhortation and enrichment during a time of music and meditation on God's Word. This podcast shares selected recent chapel messages from guest speakers, faculty, and staff. Welcome to the PCC Chapel Podcast.
Luke chapter 5 this morning. Great to see you today. Excited to hear about Rick Jones being in the display room. Rick Jones actually worked and taught in the school that I grew up in before he moved to Washington State. In fact, his wife was my high school Spanish teacher. It's a throwback to think about that and hear that name. But what a blessing it was to actually have learned at least a little bit of Spanish. I ended up marrying into a Hispanic family. So that has been a real blessing to me personally. I'd encourage you, if you're in looking for an education major or career rather, go out there and visit him in the display room today. And let me ask you this question as well. Have you ever experienced an event or something that really disrupted your plans personally? You had some ideas, you had some ambitions, you had some goals, and something transpired that really disrupted your plans. Several years ago, this is probably close to 12 years ago now, I was in bivocational ministry. So I was working a full-time job while also serving as an assistant pastor in a local church. During that time frame, after probably about 8 years or so of doing that, I was presented with the potential opportunity of going and serving full-time as an assistant pastor in another church out of state. And I was really pursuing that, really looking forward to it, excited about the possibility, and really just making all my plans to set that in motion. Well, after several months of me, you know, already looking for housing, kind of figuring out plans and thinking, okay, my wife's not going to have to work, we're going to be able to do this, going to be able to do that, it's going to be wonderful. The Lord slowly began to close that door. Maybe you, like me, have done something like this, that when the Lord closes a door, you kind of try to put your foot in it to keep it open and see if you can elbow it a little bit more and say, well, Lord, maybe let's not quite close that door yet. Let's keep pushing and try again. Well, at this point, the opportunity to go as a paid assistant pastor was no longer an option. So I thought, well, Lord, you've closed that door, but you know, I'm in bivocational ministry, so why not just continue it there? And this church could really use me, of course. You know, I bring a lot to the table, right? No. But I remember trying to push that door open myself. I applied for multiple jobs. I had previously lived in the area, new companies, new businesses, one of which I worked for during college. And he had told me, he said, listen, you're ever back in the area, you ever need a job, you call me. Well, guess what I did? I called him. And he said, oh, Jason, I wish we could hire you, but we just don't have a position. Literally months go by of me trying to make this happen. And I finally just said, okay, Lord, this is my plan I'm trying to force. It's clearly not what you have called me to do. We continued to remain in the position that we were in and happily. We knew this is where the Lord had us at the time. And so we continued serving that church, continued serving in the full-time job I had as well. And it was about 2 years later, the Lord began to work in my heart and my wife's heart saying, I've got something else for you. It's time to obey now. And it was shortly after that, no exaggeration, again, serving as assistant pastor part-time in another ministry full-time, that my wife and I resigned our position as assistant pastor there at the church we were serving in, not knowing what was next. And I remember telling the Lord, I said, Lord, you've called me to ministry, and the job I have is not, you know, pastoral ministry. It's not really what I believe you've called me to. But Lord, I know you're calling me away from this church. I just don't know why. I don't know where. But I do know what. You've said to do this, so I'm going to obey. I remember leaving our church after we announced the resignation that evening, and it was a quiet ride back to our home, and my wife and I were saying, well, what's next? We don't know. I'm not exaggerating when I say this. It was not 12 hours later, probably 12 hours exactly, that I remember sitting in my office and receiving a phone call at that time for Pastor McBride saying, hey, I've got a position in our church opening. I'd like to talk to you about it. Lord, is this what you've been telling me to wait on? Is this the plan you have for our life? And we met, we began praying, and just a few months later, we began serving full time at Campus Church. I remember looking back on that and thinking, Lord, I had all these plans. I thought this was good. I thought this was what you wanted for me. And really what it was is me trying to push the door open and force things to happen. But the Lord said, no, instead of your plans, I'm going to disrupt all of those. And my desire is that you follow my plan. Maybe you've been in a position like that before where the Lord disrupted your plans. Maybe family plans had to change, financial plans have had to change. Maybe your educational plans have had to change. Maybe your daily plans, your schedules that you had set just the way you wanted it, and it had to change, and something came up and disrupted your plans. What we're going to do today from Luke chapter 5 is look at a message entitled, When Plans Are Disrupted. When plans are disrupted. You know, the Bible has many stories, many accounts of individuals who had great plans and things, the great ideas and things to do for the Lord that the Lord said, nope, not going to happen. In fact, one of them is in Acts chapter 16. We find the Apostle Paul having a desire to go into Bithynia to carry the gospel. Bithynia would be modern day Turkey at this point. And the Lord says in Acts chapter 16, this was Paul's desire, but the Spirit hindered him in verse number 7 of Acts 16. In other words, the Holy Spirit was saying, nope, that's not what I have for you. Well, you look at that and you think, Lord, maybe he was even going through Paul's mind. And he's saying, Lord, but this is in part with your God-given mission. You've called me to reach the nations with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But why not go to Bithynia? But the Holy Spirit hindered him, and he didn't go. And it was not long after that time that the Holy Spirit spoke to him and directed him into the area of Macedonia, modern-day Greece. And because of that disruption to his plans and him saying, okay, Lord, that's what I want to do, but it's not what you've called me to, I'll wait. The Apostle Paul ended up being used to plant the very first church in Europe, the church at Philippi. And from there to Thessalonica and from there to Corinth. Maybe you're thinking, but Lord, why not to Asia Minor, to Turkey, where my heart was, where I so wanted to go? If you ever study the history of the disciples, the lives, their messages, what you find is that shortly after the day of Pentecost, the disciples began to spread out, and there were already multiple disciples who were going into modern-day Turkey, Asia Minor, and planting churches and reaching the people with the gospel. But no one yet, as far as we know, had yet been to Europe. And God said, Paul, that's your plan, not mine. So the Apostle Paul went, and God used him in an incredible way. As soon as he arrives in Philippi, who does he meet? He meets Lydia. Lydia becomes a believer. He also gets thrown into jail, and because of that, the Philippian jailer and his family trust Christ as Savior. And then again, from there to other cities, continuing to plant churches all throughout Europe, the Balkan Peninsula, and that whole area in there. When you look at a passage such as that and you see what's transpiring, we have to immediately conclude that it's a great reminder that God's ways are higher than ours. God's plans are often different from our plans. Solomon observed this in Proverbs chapter 19. In verse number 21, the scripture says, there are many devices or plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel or plans of the Lord, that shall stand. He's acknowledging there's often a difference between our plans, our thoughts, our ideas, and that of God. And in our text today in Luke chapter 5, we find an individual who experienced a disruption in his life. A disruption that ultimately led to him becoming a true follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what we're going to learn is this, that God often disrupts our plans so that we'll follow his plan. God often disrupts our plans so that we'll follow his plan. So in Luke chapter 5, let's begin at looking how Jesus disrupted Peter's plans. And let's ask the question, what do I do when my life, my plans, my goals, my ambitions, what do I do when they're disrupted? What do I do? Number one, accept the disruption. Except the disruption is from the Lord. Look at Luke chapter 5, verse 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. Okay, let's set the scene. Jesus Christ is on the shore of Gennesaret, Lake Gennesaret, another name for the Sea of Galilee or the Sea of Tiberias. And he's teaching the word of God to these people. And there's a large crowd that is gathered on the shore. The longer he teaches, the more the crowd grows. And in fact, it seems that it's now pushing him closer and closer away from the people because there's so many more coming in. In fact, we see in that word, the word pressed. The word pressed is the idea of being pushed up against a boundary. In other words, Jesus has been standing on the shore. It's kind of like a natural amphitheater. He's been teaching these people the word of God. The crowd continues to grow. He gets pushed back to a point. He can go no further. If he goes any further, he's in the Sea of Galilee. So what does Jesus do? He begins to look for a solution. Verse number 2. And saw two ships standing by the lake. This is Jesus. Saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. So Jesus looks around, sees a couple of empty boats just off to the side, and he goes and just climbs up into one of the ships. The men in the ships were out. They were off on the shore kind of cleaning their nets. And then what happens? Jesus begins to disrupt Peter and what he was going about and his plans and his old goals for the day. Look at verse 3. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. So Jesus just walks over, climbs up into Peter's ship, and says, Peter, come on over here, get in, and let's push out a little ways. Well, Peter does just what he's asked to do and proceeds to teach the people from the boat. You may think that this is strange, but at this point, Peter had already met Jesus. And in fact, he had already even seen Jesus do a few miracles. In John chapter 1, verse 40 through 42, we find that Andrew had already introduced Jesus to Peter. We see that Peter had already seen Jesus turn the water into wine at the wedding of Cana. We see that he'd also already at this point seen his own mother-in-law healed by Jesus. And it even had the call to follow me. Follow me, Peter. But where's Peter at the time? Is he following Jesus? No. He's off on the side of the shore, seemingly ignoring everything that's taking place with the ministry of Jesus, and he's over there cleaning his net. It was at this point that I think we find a Peter who was, we could say he was following Christ, but he was not yet a follower of Christ. He's seen Jesus perform the miracles. He's seen Jesus calling people to follow him. But is he? No, he's off the side. See, Peter was back into his routine, back into his plan for his life, and wasn't even listening to what Jesus had to say that day from the shore. Jesus wanted Peter's attention. And it was going to take a disruption of his life, of his plans, of his routine in order to get his attention. I don't know. Scripture doesn't say what Jesus was teaching from the boat that day. But I do believe this. It's what Peter needed to hear. It's what Peter needed to hear, and he wasn't listening. Let me pause just for a minute and challenge you with this. I don't know what's going through your mind today. I don't know if you're thinking about your plans, your routine, your schedule, but maybe this message from God's word is what God wants you to hear today. Accept the disruption. Allow God's word to work in your heart. Peter was busy about his life, his routine, his plans, rather than pausing to listen to the message God had for him. So what did Jesus do? He disrupted Peter's routine. He said, time to stop cleaning the net, hop in the boat, and let's go. I've got something for you to hear. He changed Peter's plan for the day, and he got Peter to a point where Peter was now a captive audience. Jesus had his attention. I wonder if that's where some of us need to be. That it's going to take a disruption of our plans for us to stop and listen to the Lord. Peter accepted the disruption, but little did he know that that disruption in his plans for the day, what ultimately change his life going forward. So I ask you, what disruption in your life has occurred lately? What change of plans have you had to make lately? And remember this, God often disrupts our plans so that we'll listen to his plan. Secondly, follow his direction. Accept the disruptions that have come as from the Lord, and then be willing to listen and follow his direction. Look in verse number 4. This is where the account really begins to get exciting to me. Look at verse 4. Now when he had left speaking, okay, he's finished. Jesus is finished speaking for the day. He looks at Peter. He says, Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. All right, let's go fishing. And Simon, answering him, said, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. He's immediately given a little bit of kickback to the Lord. He's saying, Lord, really? You know we've been out all night fishing and we've caught absolutely nothing. And now we've already been over here cleaning our nets and getting everything put away and cleaned up, ready to go for tomorrow to do it all over again. If I do this now, I'm going to have to repeat that process all over again. And now it's just not the right time to fish. We've been doing it already all night, Lord. Here's what Peter had to understand. He had to realize that when following God's direction, you have to obey, you have to do it, even when it doesn't make sense to you. In Peter's mind, Lord, this is not the right time. The best time is at night. That's what we've been doing. We caught absolutely nothing. Here we are in the heat of the day. You want me to cast out there and cast out my net that I've already cleaned and start this process all over again? Maybe he's even thinking in his mind, I'm the fisherman. You're the carpenter. What do you know about fishing? But what did he do? He looked at the Lord. He said, okay. You know, sometimes what Jesus asks us to do, what God is asking us to do, doesn't make sense. It doesn't seem logical to us. But we have to, again, remember that we serve a God whose ways are higher than our ways and whose thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Peter had to learn that I follow his direction even when it doesn't make sense to me. He also had to learn that he had to follow his direction even when you're tired and discouraged. Even when you're tired and discouraged. Look back again in verse number 5. The scripture says, and Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. We've been working at this all night, and he uses the word toiled. It means to labor until weary, to be extremely fatigued. The word is used elsewhere in Revelation chapter 2, verse 3, with the idea of being emotionally fatigued and discouraged. Here's Peter. He's physically exhausted. He's emotionally fatigued, and he's mentally discouraged. He's been out all night trying to catch fish, trying to provide for his family. He's been an utter failure that entire night. And how am I going to get the funds to buy food for my family? How am I going to be able to fish and survive if I can't catch anything? He's physically fatigued, emotionally fatigued, mentally discouraged. He'd done everything right as a fisherman, but all his labor had been in vain. He's ready to go sleep. He's ready to call it quits, be done for the day, and just go sleep. And Jesus says, hey, instead, let's go fishing. What would you have done in that moment? Honest question to ask yourself. What would you have done in that moment? Would you have thrown in the towel? Or would you have cast the net? So often when we get discouraged and things don't make sense, we're just ready to quit. We're ready to throw in the towel. But Jesus was calling him not to throw in the towel, but to cast the net. Often we let the weariness and the discouragement of the work of our plans that have failed and not going the way we want them to deter us from doing the work that God has called us to. We think we can't go on. We think we've been asked to do something that doesn't make sense. We think we've been asked to do something that we can't do. So we throw in the towel instead of cast the net. But what did Peter do? In verse 5, look what he said at the end of the verse. We would have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Lord, it doesn't make sense to me. Lord, I am worn out. I'm tired of fighting this battle. I'm tired of struggling through this, and I can't seem to succeed. But nevertheless, Lord, at thy word, I will cast the net. I'll let down the net. Oh, that even in our discouragement, even in our weariness, even in our unbelief, that would be our response. Nevertheless, I will let down the net. Peter accepted the disruption of his plans, chose to follow the direction of the Lord, even though it didn't make sense to him, even though he was worn out and ready to just go home and call it quits. But what was the result of his obedience? Look at verse number 6. And when they had done this, when they let down the net, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship. You know, these guys were likely still on the shore cleaning up their nets. And they said, hey, we need you. Come on over here. We've got more than we can handle. Come help us. So what do? They come. And it says, and they were in the ship that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships so that they began to sink. These guys left with one of those fishing stories that you had to see to believe. If you hadn't have seen it, you would have thought it was one of those fish tales. You know, this is another miracle right here, because we find these men, these fishermen, actually telling the truth about how big the fish were. It was a catch that was beyond anything they'd ever seen before. You had to see it to believe it. I mean, imagine the conversation Simon Peter had with his friends when he got back to shore. It probably went something like this. Guys, you had to see it. You wouldn't believe there's so many fish, and that was breaking. Okay, sure, Peter. Where are the fish then? Because you certainly didn't sell them, and you certainly didn't come home with any money from them. So where are the fish? Oh, I left them to follow Jesus. Okay, Peter. Okay, sure. Looks like you've been out in the sun a little long today, Peter. Peter had experienced, as a lifelong fisherman, the greatest catch of his life. And it was a catch that would change his life. Think for a minute if Peter had not said, nevertheless, at thy word, I'll let down the net. Lord, I'm going to follow, even though it doesn't make sense. If that had been Peter's response, where he said, no, Lord, I'm tired, I'm done, I'm going to sleep, Peter would have missed out on experiencing a personal miracle right before his own eyes. He would have missed out on having the greatest fish story, not tale, ever told. But more importantly, he would have missed out on the call of Jesus in his life that day. What miracles? What blessings? What calling have you missed out on in your life because you said, Lord, now is not the time? Instead of saying, nevertheless, at thy word, I'll let down the net, you said, Lord, no, that's not my plan. Now is not the time. Remember, God often disrupts our plans so that we'll stop and listen to his plan. What do we do when disruption comes? Accept the disruption is from the Lord. Follow his direction, whether or not it makes sense to you. And even if you're tired, even if you're discouraged, even if you're ready to throw in the towel, throw out the net. Follow his direction. And thirdly, follow with devotion. Follow with devotion. Look at verse 8. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. Notice the difference in how Peter addressed Jesus in this verse from verse 5. Back in verse number 5, Peter called Jesus master. Called him master. Now, this is not the term of reverence, that like rabbi. That's not what he was saying. It's a more general word as a teacher or someone with rank. Essentially, he called him sir. But now he looks at him, and in verse 8, he says, Lord. Lord. He bows down in reverence. And at this moment, Peter was gripped not just by a sense of his inferiority, but by his own sinfulness. What Peter caught that day was not just an unbelievable amount of fish, but he caught a glimpse of the divinity of Jesus Christ. And in verse 9, the Bible says, "For he was astonished, and all that were with him at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so also was James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." Verse 9 says they were astonished. It means to be emotionally overwhelmed. What they had just seen, what they just experienced, they could not explain. The excitement, yet the fear at the same time just overwhelmed them. And in verse 10, Jesus looks at Peter by name and says, "Fear not." But Lord, it doesn't make sense. Lord, how am I going to provide for my family? Lord, I'm tired. Hey, Peter, trust me. Fear not. Trust me. You know, one of the many things that's so amazing about the Lord is how well he knows his children and just what we need in those moments of inner turmoil. And those moments of fear and those moments where you're overwhelmed with emotion, when you're overwhelmed with the disruption that you face in your life or overwhelmed with the circumstances in your life, do as Peter did. Fall before the Lord on your knees and trust him. Remember, God often disrupts our plans so that we'll follow his plans. We'll learn to listen to him. It was then when Peter's life seemed to be turned upside down and his plans had been disrupted that God now had Peter's attention. Just a few minutes earlier, Peter was seemingly oblivious to what Jesus Christ was doing on the shore. Now he's on his knees before him saying, "Lord, I am a sinful man." Jesus had his attention. And Jesus said in verse 10, "Simon, fear not. From henceforth thou shalt catch men." He said, "Peter, I have a plan for you. I've been needing to get your attention. Now I've got something for you to do. I have a plan for your life. From now on, you're going to catch men instead of fish." Matthew records it in Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, when Jesus says, "Follow me," talking to Peter, "and I'll make you fishers of men." Interesting little side note, the word for catch in verse 10 here in Luke 5, it has the idea of catching for death. Catching for death is what Peter had been doing all his life, but here in verse 10, the word has the idea of catching for life. He said, "Peter, you're now going to be fishers, catchers of men for eternal life." Peter, you will be fishing for men. Look at Peter's response in verse 11. "When they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him." Peter wasted no time. He wasted no time in choosing to follow Jesus with complete devotion. He forsook all. He left his career as a fisherman. He forsook the greatest catch of his life and the proceeds from it. He forsook the plans that he had for his life, and he chose to follow Christ with complete devotion. When we come to Luke 5, Peter, like many today, was following Christ, but he was not yet a follower of Christ. He was not yet a fully committed follower of Christ who was willing to forsake his life, his wants, his desires, his plans, his goals, his career to serve God with his life. God disrupted his plan. so that Peter would listen to his plan, to God's plan. What is God trying to teach you today? Is he working to get your attention? Has he disrupted your life? Has he called you to follow him in a new direction? Here's my challenge to you this morning. Accept the disruption. Follow his direction and follow with complete devotion. Like Peter, rather than throwing in the towel, let's cast the net.
You've been listening to a message from Pensacola Christian College Chapel. You're welcome to pass this sermon along to others. Please don't charge for it or alter it without written permission from Pensacola Christian College. For additional information about PCC, visit us online at pcci.edu. Pensacola Christian College, empowering Christian leaders to influence the world for Christ.